The Person of Christ in the Gospel and the Quran.
Christ and Islam.
Christ is mentioned in many verses in the Quran, and to these verses Muslim thinking reverts whenever the person of Christ comes under discussion.
Most of the time, Muslim theologians resorted to the Christian text in their interpretation of these verses, and whoever considers their writings notes that they accepted from this text that which they considered agreed with Muslim thought, but always refused any attempt to find agreement between the Gospel and the Quran, due to the differences between the total beliefs and traditional stories set forth in the two books. In their endeavor to hold to the validity of the Quran, they allege the alteration or corruption of the Gospel whenever its text contradicts the Quran.
In this discussion, I shall try to show Quranic thought in its gradual development when it opposes the Christian doctrines. It is possible for me to begin with the statement that anyone who investigates the text of the Quran will notice that the first Quranic verses from the Meccan period were very sympathetic to Christianity and were favorably disposed to Christ and his followers, to clergymen and monks. By the end of Muhammad's period in Medina, the verses had become harsh, being hostile to Christians and entirely rejecting the deity of Christ. No doubt the reason was purely doctrinal, because Muhammad saw, in the dogma of the Trinity, that which conflicts with the unity of God, which Islam proclaims and on which its message is based. In repudiating any toleration of this subject, there are a number of verses in the Quran which criticize severely the doctrine of the Trinity, and which accuse the Christians of polytheism, of associating partners with God, and the exaggeration in their religion.
Maybe Muhammad was disturbed by the idea of the Trinity held by some heretical Christian sects which were scattered throughout the Arabian Peninsula, whose Trinity consisted of God and his partner Mary and her son Isa. Even though no true Christian has ever stated such an idea, the Muslims have made from it a great issue which they have never abandoned, in spite of all the explanations given by Christians on every possible occasion.
There is also another deep-seated problem, the reason for which is a verse in the Quran which says, "Remember Isa, son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, lo, I am the emissary apostle of Allah unto you, confirming that which is in my hands from the Torah, and proclaiming good tidings of an emissary who cometh after me, whose name is Ahmad, the most praised one. Yet when he came to them with proofs, they said, This is pure magic. Surat Asaf, the ranks, verse 6.
In a conversation in which Abu Ja'far al-Tabari, quoting from Muawiyah bin Saliha, and Sa'id bin Su'ed, and Al-Ahla bin Hilal al-Salami, and Ahbad bin Sariya said,
I heard the emissary of Allah say, With God I am foreordained to be the seal of the prophets. Really, Adam is mixed with the earth. I will inform you first that my father Abraham prayed, and Isa also proclaimed about me, and there was the vision which my mother saw. Likewise, the mothers of the prophets saw that when my mother bore me, a great light issued from her, enough to light the palaces of Damascus.
Muslims take this statement literally, and the gospel is devoid of any indication of a prophecy concerning Muhammad, or any statement that Christ spoke of him. They say the Injil is corrupted.
There is a third difficulty, the reason for it being the belief of Christians in the gospel account of the sufferings of Christ and his crucifixion as a basic truth of their religion. The Quran denies the crucifixion, seeing as it says the following about the Jews. Because of their saying, "We slew the Messiah, Isa, the son of Mary," they slew him not, nor crucified him, but it appeared to them as if it was so. And lo, those who disagree concerning him are themselves in doubt about him. They have no knowledge of him, other than the following of an opinion. They definitely did not slay him, but Allah took him up unto himself. Allah was ever mighty, wise. Surat An-Nisa. Women, verse 157.
There is a fourth difficulty, the reason for which is the belief of Christians that Christ is the Son of God. The Quran has condemned this belief in a series of verses, which we shall mention in their appropriate places, along with the interpretations and comments of scholars.
Distinctive characteristics of Christ in the Quran.
In spite of the opposition of Islam to the basic Christian doctrines, the Quran concedes to Christ's attributes and dignities which put him on a higher level than human beings. These characteristics were manifested in his way of life and conduct, his message and his person. When we compare these characteristics with those which the Quran mentions concerning the prophets and apostles, we see that it does not give to any of them, not even Muhammad himself, any of those special characteristics pertaining to Christ.
Number 1. His miraculous conception. We read in the Quran, "And Mary, daughter of Imran, whose womb was chaste, therefore we breathe therein from our spirit. And she put faith in the words of her Lord and his scriptures, and was from the obedient." Surat al-Tahrim. Banning, verse 12. See also Surat al-Anbiya, the Prophets, verse 91.
Al-Fakhr al-Razi says, "We breathed therein of our spirit," means in Aisha, as Aisha was in her abdomen. There is disagreement over who breathed. Some say the breathing was from Allah, as Allah says, "We breathed therein of our spirit," by which it appears it was Allah himself who breathed. Others say that the one who breathed was Gabriel, because it is said in a statement attributed to Gabriel, "I grant to you."
There is also disagreement over the manner of this breathing. Number 1. There is the saying of Wahhab that Gabriel breathed into her breast and it reached her womb. Number 2. Another version is that he breathed into the hem of her garment and she conceived. Number 3. Al-Sadi said, "He took hold of her sleeve and breathed into her side, and it entered her breast and she conceived." Then Mary's sister, the wife of Zechariah, came to visit with and help her. And while she was assisting her, she knew that Mary was pregnant, and Mary mentioned her state to her. The wife of Zechariah said, "I find a child in my womb worships that which is in yours." Thus the statement, "believing in the word of Allah." Number 4. The breathing was in her mouth and reached her womb, and immediately she conceived.
Ibn Abbas said, "Gabriel opened the inner garment with his fingers and breathed inside." The saying, "whose body was chaste," means she kept herself chaste and maintained her virtue. And "we breathed therein of our spirit" means the breathing was into the opening of her garment. It is also said, we, that is Allah, created whatever appears in it, the womb of Mary.
Muqatil, in his explanation of the words, she believed in the words of her Lord, said they mean, in Aisha and Al-Hassan, when reading the Quran, indicated this by substituting word of her Lord instead of words, and Aisha is called the word of Allah in a number of places in the Quran.
Number 2, his miraculous birth. The Quran mentions this conversation between the Virgin Mary and the angel of the Lord when he came with the announcement of Christ's birth, saying, he said, I am a messenger of thy Lord, that I may bestow on thee a faultless boy. She said, how can I have a boy when no mortal hath touched me, neither have I been unchaste? He said, so it will be. Thy Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a revelation to mankind and a mercy from us, and it is a thing ordained. Surat Maryam Mary, verses 19 through 21.
Al-Baidawi has commented on the miraculous birth of Jesus, saying that distinction sets Christ apart from other humans and messengers, because he was born without any human embrace or relationship.
But Al-Fakhr el-Razi comments on the subject thus.
Concerning the words, I bestow on thee a faultless boy, he said, faultless means three things. Firstly, that he is without sin. Secondly, that he grew in integrity, as it is said that he who has no sin is chaste, and in the growing plant there is purity. Thirdly, he was above reproach and pure.
The words, we make him a revelation for mankind, mean we make his birth a sign to mankind, as he was born without a father. And a mercy from us means mankind will be blessed by the manifestation of these signs, for they will be overwhelming indications of his truthfulness and will make the acceptance of his word more likely.
Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tabari said in explanation of the words faultless boy and basing it on the saying of Abu Amru, the chaste boy is pure from sin. Thus the Arabs say, a youth pure and chaste, outstanding and excellent.
Number 3. He was blessed of God. We read in Surat Maryam these words as spoken by Christ. He hath made me blessed wherever I may be. Surat Maryam, Mary, verse 30.
At Tabari, quoting Yunus ibn Abd al-Ala and Suifan, said that the explanation of hath made me blessed means he hath made me a teacher of good.
Sulaiman bin Abd al-Jabbar, quoting Muhammad bin Yazid bin Khanis al-Makhzumi, said, I heard Ibn al-Wart, a follower of the Bani Makhzum, say, a scholar encountered another more learned than himself and, after greeting him, said, what should be manifested from my knowledge? He said, the doing of good and the refraining from the forbidden. This is the religion of Allah, which he sent through his prophets to mankind. Scholars have agreed on the saying of Allah, he hath made me, that is, Aiza, blessed, wheresoever I be.
Number 4. He was supported by the Holy Spirit. We read in Surat al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 253. We gave Aisha, son of Mary, clear proofs, and we supported him with the Holy Spirit.
Ibn Abbas said, "The Holy Spirit is the name by which Aisha was raising the dead." Abu Muslim said, "The Holy Spirit by whom he was supported was probably the pure spirit, which Allah breathed into him, and by which he distinguished him from those whom he created in a normal manner from man and woman."
We read in Surat An-Nisa, Women, verse 170, "The Messiah, Isa, son of Mary, is a messenger of Allah, and his word, which he conveyed unto Mary, and a spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers."
The substance of these verses is that Allah gave Isa in his person a spirit, and this spirit supported him in his personality. But Muslim scholars have differed in the explanation of the Holy Spirit by whom he was supported.
Ibn Uns said, "He is the spirit which was breathed into Christ. Allah related him to himself, honoring him, Christ, and setting him apart. The Holy is God, and the saying, 'We breathed in him of our spirit,' is indicative of this."
Al-Sadi and Kaab said, "The Holy Spirit is Gabriel, and his support of Aiza was by being his companion and friend, helping and accompanying him wherever he went, until he was taken up into heaven."
Ibn Jubayr said, "Spirit of the Holy is the supreme name for Allah, and by it Aisha was raising the dead."
Al-Kashani said, "Allah proposed to cleanse the body of Aisha from inherent impurities, and he was an incarnate spirit in an ideal and spiritual body. He, Allah, cleansed his spirit and purified him from being influenced by natural instincts and environmental characteristics, so that he could be supported by the Holy Spirit on whose form he was."
Ibn Atta said, "The most excellent plants are those whose fruits are like Aisha, the Spirit of God."
Ibn Abbas said, "As it was the Spirit which was breathed into him, and the Holy One is Allah, so he is the Spirit of Allah."
Number 5. His ascension at the time of his death. We read that Allah said, "O Aisha, lo, I am gathering you and causing you to ascend to me, and am cleansing you of those who disbelieve." Surat Al-Imran, verse 55.
Al-Fakhri Al-Razi said, "There are many interpretations of this verse, of which we quote two."
A. The meaning of "I will cause you to ascend" is that Allah would take him to the place of his honor and make that ascension an honor and exaltation to Isa. Similar to this is the saying, "I go to my Lord." This statement is taken from the Gospel.
B. The interpretation of "causing you to ascend unto me" means that Allah was raising him to a place where no one could judge him, for on earth men pass various kinds of judgment on one another, but in heaven there is no true nor omniscient judge except Allah.
Number 6. His infallibility in his message and his way of life. Some people imagine that infallibility of message is definitely linked with infallibility of conduct, but the verses of the Quran contradict this idea. We read many verses which make clear that the prophets' lives were not without blame, either before nor after their message. But in the Quran, Christ's life was infallible, as was his message. The angel witnessed to that when he said to his mother, "I am the messenger of your Lord, and I bestow on you a faultless child." El-Baidawi said in his comments on the word faultless that Aisha advanced intellectually from year to year.
Number 7. Signs proved the uniqueness of his message. As his message was made unique by the support of the Holy Spirit, so was it also unique in the multiplicity and character of the signs attending it, which exceeded those given to any other messenger. We read, "We gave Isa, son of Mary, clear proofs." Surat al-Baqarah, the cow, verse 253. The proofs being the miracles.
Al-Baidawi said, "Allah bestowed on him a special assignment and made his miracles a reason for his preferment above other messengers. They were clear signs and great wonders unequaled in number by any other."
Number 8. His omniscience. The Quran says, "When the Son of Mary is quoted as an example, your people alienate themselves from him. Surely he is a sign for the hour," that is, the day of judgment. Surat al-Zukhruf, Ornaments of Gold, verse 57 and 61.
Al-Jalalan said, in his explanation of the phrase, "a sign for the hour," seeing as Isa was a sign for the hour, he knew when it, the day of judgment, would come. When we remember that people generally recognize that Allah is separate from his creation, in that he alone knows the times, we comprehend the distinction which the Quran assigns, especially to Christ.
Number 9. He is the mediator near to Allah. When we consider verse 44 of Surat al-Zumar, the troops, we find that the Quran confines the work of intercession to Allah alone, when it says, "Unto Allah belongeth all intercession." Another verse of the Quran hints that intercession is one of the privileges of Christ when it says, "Remember when the angel said, O Mary, lo, Allah gives you glad tidings of a word from him, whose name is the Messiah, Isa, son of Mary, an outstanding personality in the world and in the hereafter, and one of those brought near." Surat al-Imran, verse 44.
Al-Jalalan said, in explanation of this verse, "Outstanding in this world by the ministry of prophecy, and in the hereafter by intercession and position, and being one of those brought near unto Allah."
Al-Tabari, quoting Ibn Hamid and Salama and Ibn Ishaq and Muhammad bin Ja'far, said, "Outstanding in the world means possessor of dignity and living close to Allah in the world. The words in the hereafter and among those brought near mean that he is one of those whom Allah brings near to himself on the day of resurrection and who will dwell close to him."
Al-Razi said concerning Isa, "He was outstanding in the world because he obeyed the call of Allah and raised the dead, healed the blind and the leper, and will be outstanding in the hereafter, because Allah will make him an intercessor for his people."
However, the saying, "one brought near," has various viewpoints.
The first, that Allah had made the position of being near to him a great privilege for the angels, and would admit Isa to their rank and dignity.
The second, this description is an announcement that he would be raised to heaven and associated with angels.
The third, that not every outstanding one in the hereafter would be close to Allah, because those in paradise are of various ranks and degrees.
The miracles of Christ in the Quran.
1. His power to create. In the Quran, there is the following statement. When Allah saith, O Isa, son of Mary, remember my favor unto thee, and how I taught thee the scripture and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and how thou didst shape of clay, as it were the likeness of a bird, and didst blow into it, and it was a bird, by my permission. Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 109.
Ibn Arabi, in his interpretation of this verse, said, Allah bestowed on Isa a spirit, and added the power to breathe life into what he has made of clay. To none other than Isa has Allah given this power to impart life.
Number 2. He spoke at his birth. When Mary gave birth to her son, her people blamed her, thinking that she had borne him out of wedlock. Then she pointed to him, and they said, How can we talk to one who is in the cradle, a young boy? He said, Lo, I am slave of Allah. He hath given me the scripture, and hath appointed me a prophet. Surat Maryam, Mary, verses 28 and 29.
It has been said by trustworthy scholars that when Mary's people went too far in reproaching her, she was silent and pointed to her child, as if she would say to them, He will answer you.
As Sadi said, when she pointed to him, they were very angry, and said, Her mockery of us is worse than her adultery.
Another story relates that Isa was feeding at his mother's breast, and when he heard the complaint against Mary, he stopped feeding, turned his face to the people, and resting on his left hand, pointed with his finger and spoke to them.
There is also another story, told by Al-Razi, which says Zechariah came to her during this debate among the Jews concerning her, and said to Isa, Speak for yourself, if you have been commanded so to do. And Isa said, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me wisdom and made me a prophet.
Number 3. He raised the dead and healed the blind and the leper. The Quran states, in the words of Christ, I heal him who was born blind and the leper, and I raise the dead by the permission of Allah. Surat al-Imran, verse 49.
It is known that the word blind, in this quotation, means those who were born in that condition. It is also a fact that leprosy is a dangerous disease, and both ailments are beyond the power of man to cure.
Al-Musanna, quoting Ibn Ishaq and Hafiz ibn Omar and Akrama, mentioned that Allah told Isa to repeat this verse to the Jews by way of proving he was a prophet because blindness and leprosy have no cure.
Concerning the phrase, I raise the dead, Wahab ibn Minabeh related that while Isa was playing with some boys, a youth sprang on one and, striking him with his foot, killed him, then threw him, bleeding, into the arms of Isa. People were told of this and accused Isa, then seized him, took him to a judge, and said, This boy has killed another boy. The judge questioned him, and Isa replied, I do not know the one who killed him, neither am I one of his friends. Then they wanted to strike Isa. So he said to them, Bring the boy to me. And they asked him, Why? He replied, I will ask him who killed him. They asked, How can he speak to you if he is dead? Then they took him to the dead boy, and Isa began to pray for him, and Allah restored him to life.
From Wahab comes another story, which says, A great number of sick people, possibly some 50,000, once crowded around him. Those who were able to do so reached him, But for those who could not do so, Jesus walked amongst them and cured them by prayer.
Another from Calabi, who says, Jesus used to raise the dead by the cry, O thou who art alive, O everlasting one. He raised Lazarus, his friend, and he called Shem, the son of Noah, from his grave, and he came forth alive. He passed by the dead son of an old woman and invoked Allah for him. And the deceased descended from his bier, returned to his family, and continued his normal life.
Number 4. He had knowledge of things hidden and invisible. The Quran mentions Christ as saying, I announce to you what you eat and what you store up in your houses. Surat al-Imran, verse 49.
In regard to this, scholars see two factors. The first, that Isa, from the beginning, could discern hidden matters. As Sadi relates, while he was playing with the children, he told them what their mothers and fathers did. He told one boy, Your mother has hidden something for you. So the boy went home and cried until he received it. Then the people said to their children, Don't play with this magician, and they collected them into a home. Aisa came to look for them, and the people said to him, They are not in the house. So he asked, Who then is in this house? They replied, Pigs. Aisa said, Thus they will be, for they are pigs.
The second factor is that discernment of hidden matters is miraculous. Astrologers who tell the future and reveal hidden matters can only do so by questioning. They also confess they often make mistakes. But knowledge of the unknown, without recourse to aids or previous knowledge, cannot be without inspiration.
Number 5. He brought a table spread with food from heaven. The Quran says, When the disciples said, O Isa, son of Mary, is thy Lord able to send down for us a table spread with food from heaven? He said, Reverence Allah, if you are true believers. They said, We wish to eat thereof, that we may satisfy our hearts, and know that thou hast spoken truth to us, and that we may be witnesses thereof. Isa, son of Mary, said, O Allah, send down a table spread with food from heaven, that it may be a feast for us, for the first of us, and the last of us, and a sign from thee. Give us sustenance, for thou art the best of sustainers. Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verses 112 through 114.
The religious leaders, imams, have disagreed in describing the descent of the table, also how it looked and what was on it. Qatada, quoting from Jabir and Fazir ibn Amr and Muhammad, says, The table was sent down spread with bread and meat. The disciples had asked Isa for food they could eat, and which would not cease. He said to them, I will do this for you, and it will remain, if you do not hide it nor cheat. If you do, you will be punished. But before the day had passed, they cheated and hid food. So the table was taken up, and they were transformed into monkeys and pigs.
Ibn Abbas said, Isa said to the children of Israel, Fast for 30 days, then ask Allah what you will, and he will give it. They fasted 30 days, and when they had finished, they said, O Isa, we have fasted and are hungry. Call upon God to send down a table of food from heaven. Then Isa put on a coarse woolen garment, covered with ashes, and called upon Allah, and angels came with a table, on which were 7 loaves and 7 huge fish. This was placed among them, and there was sufficient for all.
The Sonship of Christ in the Quran.
Whoever considers the person of Christ as revealed in the Quran discovers that the subject of his sonship raises controversy, and there are five theories concerning it.
Number one, it is blasphemy. The Quran states, "It is not fitting to the majesty of Allah that he should take unto himself a son. Glory be to him. When he decreeth a thing, he saith only unto it, Be, and it is." Surat Maryam, verse 34.
It also says, "They say, the Beneficent hath taken unto himself a son. Assuredly ye utter a disastrous thing, whereby the heavens are almost torn, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins, and ye ascribe unto the Beneficent a son. It is not meant for the majesty of the Beneficent that he should take a son. There is none in the heavens and in the earth but cometh unto the Beneficent as a slave." Surat Maryam, verses 89 through 94.
It also says in Al-Fakhri al-Razi's commentary, "I know that Allah, when he replied to the idolaters, spoke to those who asserted that he had a son. The Jews said that Hauzair was a son of God, and the Christians said that Christ was a son of God, and the Arabs said the angels were the daughters of God, and all of them are included in the verse. They say, the Beneficent hath taken unto himself a son."
The words, "a disastrous thing," mean it was a shocking denial of truth. Thus, the tearing of the heavens and the splitting of the earth and the collapse of mountains mean that the wrath of Allah is on him who says, "The Beneficent has taken to himself a son."
Number two, it is a uniting of part of creation with the Creator. In Surat Az-Zukhruf, Ornaments of Gold, verse 15, we read, "They allot to him a portion of his bondmen. Lo, man is an obvious blasphemer. Does he take daughters from that which he created and honoreth you with sons?"
Here arises the question, what relationship is there between Creator and created that a part of creation can be joined to the Creator? It is physically and mentally impossible. Also, they, the Muslims, go on from the statement, "There is none in the heavens and in the earth, but cometh unto him as a slave," to say, "It is not possible for a slave to become a lord." From the words, "the Creator of heaven and earth," they affirm the impossibility for the created to be a creator.
We, as Christians, affirm that it is not possible to join anything to Allah from his creatures. But according to our belief, this cannot be applied to any relationship between the Father and the Son, as the Son is one in essence with the Father. And the Quran itself says that Christ is the Word of God and a spirit from him. So the uniting of part of God's creation with him has nothing to do with the matter of the sonship of Christ.
3. A son can only be born from male and female. Here there is a problem in the understanding of Islam concerning sonship. Seeing as the Quran states, "How can he, Allah, have a child when there is for him no consort?" Surat al-Inam, cattle, verse 102.
Al-Bayadawi has commented on this verse, saying, "It is only rational to say that a child is one born of male and female, of the same kind and nature, and Allah is far above being homogeneous."
This is the concept of Islam with regard to the inconceivability of God having a son. He does not have a consort, and it is impossible that there could be one. This is the secret of their denial to God's fatherhood of Christ. For there is no sonship, in the opinion of the Quran, except in a physical sense.
That which is written in Tabari's Jami' al-Bayan supports this opinion. It is quoted by Wahab and Abi Zaid, who say, "A child must be born of male and female, and it cannot be that Allah has a consort and a child. It is He who has created all things, and if there is nothing except that which Allah has created, how could He have a son?"
Some scholars resort to the verse given concerning certain heretics who were originally heathen, and after joining the church, sought to introduce into it a heresy which claimed that Mary, the Virgin, was a god. Perhaps they took her as a substitute for the goddess Venus, whom they used to worship before. They are alluded to by the learned Ahmad al-Makrizi in his book Al-Kaul al-Abrizi, page 26, and also mentioned by Ibn Hazm in his book Al-Milal wal-Ahwa wal-Nahl, page 48. Their heresy suggests that Allah had a consort and a son by her, and is obviously rejected by the Quran. But this idea is entirely foreign to Christianity. No Christian believes it. It is an insult directed against the holy God, who is free from bodily characteristics.
In fact, anyone considering the Christian's belief, which is based on the gospel, finds that they never look upon Christ as Son of God in a physical sense, but believe He is the Son of God coming out from the divine presence, as in the description of Him being the Word who was in the beginning with God, and who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
The great Apostle Paul points to this truth when he says in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and designated Son of God, in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord."